Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 10 this morning. New King James Translation. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining, exceedingly white, like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. And let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. And a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. Suddenly, when they had looked around, they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus with themselves. Now as they came down from the mountain, he commanded them that they should tell no one the things they had seen till the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Finally, verse 10, so they kept this word to themselves, questioning what the rising from the dead meant. I wonder if you have ever wondered what kind of body you will have after you die. We know that the bodies we are living in today will someday die. That is, of course, unless Jesus comes back for his church first, and then we will just be caught up in the air. Our spirits leave the bodies and go to heaven, but do we have some type of body while we are there in heaven? That's the question. And that's the question that I hope to answer for you here this morning. In our scripture text this morning in Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 10, we find a description of an event in the life of Jesus which is often referred to as the Transfiguration. The Bible tells us that Jesus took 3 of his disciples. Their names were Peter, James, and John, and he took them with him up on a high mountain. And the scripture tells us that while they are there, they are met by none other than Moses and Elijah. Now we know that those 2 men had left this earth a long time before this. In the Transfiguration, we are going to see what our bodies will be like after we die. Peter, James, and John were there in their physical bodies, in bodies just like you and I have today. Moses and Elijah were there in the of people who are saved, who have passed away, and are now in heaven. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 5 and 6 says, So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, but no one knows his grave to this day. Now Moses died approximately 1,400 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So he had been dead a long time before this day on the mountain with Jesus and with Elijah. Now the Bible also tells us that this other man who appeared there with these 3 disciples and Jesus was named Elijah. And the Bible tells us that Elijah did not experience death like we probably will. For in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. So Elijah was caught up in a whirlwind, perhaps a tornado. Doesn't say, just says whirlwind. Probably was a tornado, but that's not important. He was sucked up. He didn't die and have his body buried like we will someday, and like others that we have known to experience death have been done. But this incident with Elijah being taken up to heaven happened approximately, again, 900 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. But that presents a little bit of a problem, because Elijah could not have been taken to heaven in a body of flesh. For 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 says, Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. So that presents a problem. Here's the answer to that problem. Elijah's body of flesh was transformed to a body like all those who have ever died now now in heaven when he was taken up. That fleshly body was transformed to the same body that everybody else in heaven has now. He does not have a fleshly body in heaven. Now, again, let's get back to the basics of this. Jesus walks up this mountain with these three disciples, and as he goes up the mountain, he is walking up in a body of flesh just like ours, flesh and bone and blood. But then suddenly, he was there in his glorified body, which is the type of body, friends, that we are going to have at the resurrection. This glorified body that Jesus had at this time of transfiguration was like the body that he had when he arose from the dead. So understand this now. Jesus goes up the mountain. He gets up there. If you're going to ask me why this happened, I can only guess because the Bible doesn't tell us. But suddenly his body of flesh was glorified just like it was on Easter Sunday morning. But then as he starts to leave, the body goes back to the condition of the flesh and bone. Is that clear in everybody's mind now? Okay. So let's get back to ourselves. We have an earthly body. It is a body made of flesh and bone and blood vessels and blood. There is also the body of people who are in heaven today. Now, when I say people in heaven today, I'm talking about people who died in Christ, people who died who were saved. You know, I work at a funeral home, and every funeral I have ever been at as a spectator, every funeral I've ever been at as the preacher, every funeral I've been at as an employee of Nail's Funeral Home, it just seems that everything that is said by the preacher and everything that is said by the friends and relatives during the visitation, before the funeral and after the funeral, is an assumption that that person died and their soul went to be with the Lord. Now, is that true, folks? Does every person who dies end up in heaven? Clearly, the Bible says that's not right. So when I talk about people who are now in heaven and have a heavenly body, I'm not talking about everybody, okay? I'm talking about people who died knowing the Lord as their Savior. They're in heaven right now, okay? And there is also a third body to be considered this morning, and that is the body that we will receive after the resurrection. So let's look at these three bodies here individually. First, there is our physical body here on earth. This is the body we have now, and this is the body that we have as we see it. Some of us aren't too pleased with what we've got to work with here. Some of us think we're a little too heavy. Some of us think we're not the most attractive person that ever walked this earth. But friends, it's the body Jesus gave you. Amen? So we just have to kind of work with it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful," now listen to this part, "and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So here we have two elements of our body. Our bodies are inhabited by a soul, S-O-U-L. Our soul, friends, is what makes us who and what we are. I'll repeat that again, because I want you to get that in your mind here, because we're going to talk about spirit, and it's different. Your soul is what makes you who you are and what you are. Our soul is also then inhabited by a spirit, S-P-I-R-I-T. Because remember now, Hebrews 4:12 says, even to the division of soul and spirit. So clearly the Bible says there's a difference between a soul and a spirit, all right? Now, our spirits are a part of our body today, and that part of our body will never, ever die. Also, I want to make this clear. Every human being born into this world from the very day of Adam's creation to this very day, every human being has a soul. All right? Is that clear in everybody's mind? You also have a spirit. God's creation of Adam illustrates this. Listen to this now from Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now, if you're looking at a New King James translation, that last word is probably became a living soul. Now, let's take that verse apart, because there are three parts here. First of all, dust of the ground. That's what God used to create this body of Adam. So the dust of the ground refers to our physical body of flesh and bone. Doesn't the Bible say that we are, when we die, our bodies will eventually go back to dust? Well, dust of the ground is a reference to our physical bodies. That's what God used to create Adam, okay? Then in Genesis 2, verse 7, it talks about the breath of life. And this refers to the other part of the man, his spirit. His spirit. God breathed a spirit into Adam. Likewise, God breathes into us at our conception a spirit. Our body, dust of the ground, forms when we are formed in the womb as a growing, maturing body of flesh and bones. God also breathes into us, just like he did in Adam, a spirit. And then, when it talks about in Genesis 2:7, Adam becoming a living being, or a living soul, if it says that in your Bible, this is a reference to Adam becoming a soul, a person. A person. All right, let me back up just a moment here. If you have been born again as a Christian, then you have also within you the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that God gives you when you are saved, when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Within your body of flesh, spirit, and soul, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you after you are saved. Romans 8:9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Not every human being walking this earth today has the Holy Spirit. Every human being walking this earth today has a fleshly body, has a spirit, is a living soul, but not every human being has the Holy Spirit within him or her. Only those who are saved have this fourth element of your body, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Okay, is everybody clear on that now before we move on here? A Christian on earth today has the Holy Spirit living in him. He has a spirit, which will never die. He has a soul that makes him or her, if you want to say that, what he or she is all about. And all of this is combined in a body of flesh, bones, and blood. And friends, that is the body we possess today. Flesh, spirit, soul, Holy Spirit. Okay? Now let's move on to the next one. There is the spirit body in heaven today. Friends, this is the body that our loved ones and our precious friends who have passed away in Christ have now in heaven. Unfortunately, the Bible really doesn't tell us that much about this spirit body in heaven. However, We do know that this body can be seen because in the Old Testament it tells us that Samuel came back from the dead and he was seen. Let me read that passage to you. 1 Samuel chapter 28, starting at verse 11. Then the woman said, "Whom shall I bring up to you?" And he said, "Bring up Samuel for me." When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, "Why have you deceived me? For you are Saul." And the king said to her, "Do not be afraid. What did you see?" And the woman said to Saul, "I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth." So he said to her, "What is his form?" And she said, "An old man is coming up, and he is covered with a mantle." And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed down. Okay, let me clear up just a little bit of that, because I can imagine some of you who are quick thinkers might say, "Well, wait a minute, didn't it say here that he came up out of the ground?" Yes, but remember, friends, that people who died before Christ were taken to a place called Sheol, which was underground. Their souls went to Sheol, and their souls were kept there. It was not hell, okay? It was another element where God prepared for souls of people who died in the Old Testament times to go to a place called Sheol. On the death of Christ on the cross, those bodies were taken then, or not those bodies, but those souls were then taken to heaven, which is where they are now. But getting back to the point. Okay, so anyway, in this description of 1 Samuel here, Samuel comes up, and he's recognized. He's recognized by this witch of Endor. This was a spirit body that Samuel possessed after his death. Yes, it came up from Sheol, but it was still the same kind of body that those who have in heaven today, because eventually, at Christ's death, he was taken up. 1 Peter tells all about that, if you want to read about it. Now, Jesus also tells us another story in the Gospel of Luke, which gives us some more clues about this spirit body in heaven. It's found in Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 20. You've heard this story before, but I'll read it to you. "But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." Well, we must understand that these guys, Abraham and Lazarus, that Jesus tells about here in Luke chapter 16, they'd been dead. They were dead. They were not still alive. And now, as Jesus tells this about them being seen in the bosom of Abraham, which is another reference to heaven, they were now seen in their heavenly spirit bodies. They were not the bodies that they will have later on at the resurrection, but they were the bodies, the temporary bodies, that can be seen. And we know that this is a real body. It is a real body that those in heaven have now, awaiting for the resurrection of the saved. And friends, it is a body that is recognizable. Many people have asked me this question: will we know each other in heaven? And that's a legitimate question, is it? You ever wondered that question? Has that ever crossed your mind? Will we know each other in heaven? In other words, when I die and I get to heaven, will I know people that have died before me? When I get to heaven and then you folks die, maybe before me or after me, will we know each other in heaven? We'll say, "Hey, yeah, I remember Bill, yeah, we had a great time in Gospel Chapel." Will we know each other? And the answer to that question is absolutely. Yes, we will know each other. Some people in heaven now have some type of spirit body that can be seen. It can also be recognized. And those people who are in heaven now have a spirit type of body that is able to communicate with one another. They can recognize each other and spend time together. They can see and talk to people who died many, many years ago. Now, think about that for a moment. Can you imagine? You know, there's a song that's been popular for a few years, I Can Only Imagine. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Won't it be wonderful to finally be able to see and talk to Jesus instead of having to refer on the conception of portrait painters as to what he looked like? Can you imagine what it's going to be like to finally look upon his face and be able to talk to him like I'm talking to you now and you talk to me? But you know, Jesus is one person I want to see, my God, my Savior. But there are many others, many others. I want to see my dear wife, Pat, again. I want to see my mom and my dad again. I want to see the grandparents that I never met. My mother's mother, she died in England. I never got to see her. I only got to see pictures of her. My dad's mother died when he was 16. I never got to see her. I've only seen her pictures. If they made it to heaven, I want to see them. And of course, I want to talk to the disciples like these guys, Peter, James, and John. And I want to see and talk to the Old Testament people, people like Daniel, you know, Daniel in the lion's den, Isaiah, that great prophet Isaiah. And I want to meet Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses. And I want to talk to Noah and ask him what it was like to build that huge ark and contend with all those animals in there all the days. Can you imagine, friends, what it must be like to see and talk to the people we have only read about in the Bible? Can you imagine what it must be like to have a body now that never gets sick, never gets tired, never gets older and weak? That's the kind of spirit body that people in heaven have now. That's the kind of body our loved ones who have died have. And those are the kind of experiences, all these things I've just said, those people are experiencing those very things right now. When a Christian person, a good person, dies, is killed in a tragic accident, has and what some people would say is an early death, it's not uncommon for people to say, why? Why did God allow that person to be killed? Why did God allow that person to die at such an early age? And I can't answer that question, because if I could, then I'd be just as smart as God and you could all worship me here on Sunday mornings. But I'm not. There are a lot of questions I can't answer. But this is one thing that I often say when people ask me about people who die and people look at it as bad. It was bad that this person died. I say to you, my friends, a person who is a born-again Christian, if he or she dies, it is not a bad thing. I repeat that. The death of a Christian, a born-again Christian, is not a bad thing. How can I say that? Isn't that what the Bible says? Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." To die is gain. The Apostle Paul, he wrote those words, realizing fully that his death was fast approaching. And he said, "For me to die will be a gain for me." Now, after you've heard what I've expressed to you and explained to you so far about those people in heaven, what they're experiencing right now in their spirit bodies, don't you think that that's a gain over whatever they had ever here on earth? I do. I do. So again, I say to you, friends, it is not really a tragedy for a born-again Christian to be killed in an accident. it's not really a horrible thing for a Christian to even be murdered, because that person's death means gain to him or her. I say to you, those people are far better off today than they ever were down here on earth, or ever would have been had they lived even longer. They have no sorrow. They have no pain. No disappointments. That's what life for them is like in their spirit bodies in heaven. And I say to you, without any doubt in my mind, if any of those people in their spirit bodies in heaven had the option of coming back to us now, they wouldn't want to leave what they have now. I believe that firmly. Now let's move on to the third body that needs to be explored here this morning, and it is the glorified body. The glorified body. This is the body that Jesus had when he arose from the dead on Easter Sunday morning. This is the body that he had for a moment on the mount there with Peter, James, and John in his transfiguration. Now, the question is, what kind of a body did Jesus have in his glorified state? Well, it was a body of flesh and bone, because when people began to see Jesus, they thought the resurrected Jesus was a spirit. But if you'll remember the story in the Gospels, Jesus asked them to come touch him to see if he was not flesh and bone. Jesus said in Luke chapter 24, verse 39, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." So even in his glorified state, Jesus still had a body of flesh and bone. But there were some changes. The Bible tells us that it was a situation where Jesus appears to his disciples in a locked room. He could just appear in a room. And friends, I know it's going to be mind-boggling, but that's the kind of glorified body we're going to get someday. In other words, Jesus had in his glorified state a body, yes, flesh and bones, but yet a body that was not limited by material things or solids. Now, let me make one thing clear, though, before I move on. People in heaven right now in their spirit bodies do not have glorified bodies. They have this spirit heavenly body. But they are eventually going to get a glorified body. They'll eventually get one. And when will that happen? At the rapture. At the rapture. Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep." That's not talking about church people, okay? It's talking about people who are dead. "Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." So, people are in heaven today in the heavenly spirit body. Their earthly body of flesh and bones has sometime in the past died and was either buried or cremated. At the rapture, as described here in 1 Thessalonians, their heavenly spirit bodies will come down, and their earthly body in the casket, in the grave, or in ashes urns will be caught up, and that body will be united with their spirit body and transformed into a glorified body. At the rapture, their heavenly spirit bodies will be united with a glorified resurrection body. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 42, tells us more about this body. "So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body, and so it is written. The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Now, the resurrection body will have the power and the privilege of eating. In John chapter 21, the Bible tells us that Jesus shared a meal with his disciples in his resurrection body. In Revelation 19, the Bible says that our resurrection bodies will be called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And there is a wedding feast that goes on there, and we will sit at that table and eat with the Lord in our resurrection bodies. We all come riding back to earth on horses. How many of you like to ride horses? How many of you wouldn't get on a horse today if they paid you? I used to love to get on a horse, but after a couple of spills I've had, it'd take a lot of money to get me back on the horse. But tell you what, friends, we're all going to get on a horse someday. It's what Revelation chapter 19 says. We're all going to be getting on horses and riding back here to earth with the Lord Jesus Christ leading the charge. If you don't believe that, read Revelation chapter 19. And when we come back in our resurrection bodies, the Bible says in the book of Revelation that we will reign with Jesus Christ here on earth for a period of 1,000 years. It's a period of time often referred to as the millennium. And then after those 1,000 years, the Bible tells us that a holy city, New Jerusalem, will descend from heaven, and that will become our eternal dwelling place. And then we will walk the streets of gold. Then we will see the pearly gates. People talk about people seeing the pearly gates in heaven now and walking the streets of gold. No. No, the pearly gates and the streets of gold will appear in New Jerusalem. And nobody is in New Jerusalem now. It's a separate place yet to come down. Revelation also tells us that there is a tree of life. And those of us who are there will be eating the leaves from this tree of life. And it will be for the healing of the nations. And I don't want to get into that right now. In fact, if you want to know more about that, go back and listen to my sermons in Revelation that you can find on my website. It explains all that. The resurrection body that we will someday have will be able to eat. We'll be able to be seen. In closing, let me wrap it up this way. For 1,000 years, the Bible tells us that Jesus is going to reign over the whole earth, and he will be proclaimed the king of the earth. And, of course, as I said before, we will come with him when he comes back at the end of 7 years of tribulation. The rapture happens first, 7 years of tribulation. Jesus then comes back, and we come back with him. At the end of the seven-year tribulation period, which comes after the rapture, all believers will be coming back with us. And Jesus will rule from the city of Jerusalem as the king of the whole world. He will rule and reign with him and we with him for 1,000 years. Now, this is important. Every person at the judgment seat of Christ will receive rewards for what we have done in his name. And the power that we will have to rule over the earth during this 1,000-year period will be determined by our faithfulness and our service in this life. It's during this 1,000-year period that peace finally will prevail over the whole earth. And God's people are going to be in charge. We are going to be the governors, the senators, the representatives, the mayors, the county board members, ruling over all the people alive on the earth during this 1,000-year period. Many people and nations will enter into this kingdom in their physical bodies at the end of the 7 years of tribulation. While we will be existing in our glorified bodies, there will be people who survive the 7 years of tribulation who will go into the 1,000-year period in bodies just like we have today. And those people will have more babies just like we have done. More and more and more. This all gets back to what I've preached before in Revelation. If you didn't hear those sermons, I urge you to go back and listen to them. During this time, there will be people who survive tribulation, who give more births to more people, and this population of the earth skyrockets again. And those of us in our glorified bodies, our final state of existence, we will be here to rule and reign over them under the authority of the Lord Christ Jesus. So to sum it up, folks, we have a fleshly body today. You can see it. You can feel it. It's a body of flesh and bones, blood. People who are in heaven today have a spirit body. It's a body that can be seen. It's a body that can be talked to. It's a body that can be recognized. It's a body that has no pain. It's a body that has no sorrow. It's a body that has no disease. It has no weakness. But it's a spirit body. That's all I can tell you about it, because the Bible doesn't give us specifics other than that. But people in heaven today have a spirit body. And when you get there, you'll be able to find them. And you'll be able to recognize them. And you'll be able to talk to them. You'll be able to spend time with them. And then there is your final state that will come at the rapture. At the rapture, your body will be changed to a glorified body, the same kind of body that Jesus had on Easter Sunday morning and still has today. And that body you will dwell in all of eternity. Sounds pretty good to me, doesn't it to you?